So, hello everyone. I'm Jessica Tallon, internally sometimes known as the Goblin Enchantress, because I work on goblins a lot. I sort of live and breathe it. I work at the Spritely Institute, and I looked it up this morning. It turns out I've been working on this Spritely technology since November 2021, so a while. And you may know me from being a co-author on ActivityPub. So my background is in developing and standardizing federated social technologies. And so, who is Spritely? I'm guessing you're all aware by now, but in case you missed it, we're a research institute, we're a US registered nonprofit. And we're developing the next generation of decentralized networking technologies. The two sort of headline projects we develop are Goblins, which this talk's about, and Hoot, which you may have heard my colleague David Thompson speak about earlier. It's a Guile scheme to WebAssembly compiler. And we are running a donation campaign. We're a nonprofit, so if you think this work's important and want to support us, please go to our website and donate. So what is this talk? Well, I really like goblins, it turns out. And I'm going to make a really bold claim and say you should use it for almost anything. Your next project, for sure. Granted. I'm biased. this is our cute goblins character. But what is goblins? You've heard everyone throw this word around, or maybe you haven't, but I'm going to. So, it's a Guile library. It's based on the actor model. It employs object capability security, which pairs really well with the actor model, and sort of one comes out of the other. It implements OCAPN, which is our distributed peer-to-peer networking technology. It has a time travel debugger, which is as cool as it sounds. And it has a persistence system and a bunch of other things. So what is this actor model? Ludovic says the Spritely folks are telling you all about the actor model, and I'm a Spritely person going to tell you all about the actor model. So. So what are actors? They're kind of like objects. They're not objects in the sense of inheritance or anything like that, but they have some data usually, some data associated with them, and then some behavior. And they may have methods and other things like that. And they tend to communicate with each other by sending messages to one another. And in goblins, these messages tend to result in promises. That isn't necessarily a feature of the actor model. And I'm about to come on to this. We technically don't actually implement the actor model. We implement the VAT model, which is very heavily based on the actor model, just with some interesting other things associated with it. So what's this VAT thing I'm referring to? A VAT is essentially an event loop, and it's a message queue. So when you message an actor, you're not actually messaging the actor directly. You are messaging the VAT it lives on. And it's gonna join this queue of messages, and then the VAT is going to process one message at a time and dispatch it to the actor. Actors are spawned within a particular VAT. Spawning is the goblin's word for creating a new actor. And VATs are also transactional. So if an error happens when it's processing a message, it will not apply that transaction. So what do these actors look like? I hope everyone can see it. I think this theme isn't great. Now I've seen it on the screen. but actors are essentially, well, we've got this greeter actor here, and you can see it's got this sort of carrot, this hard hat character at the beginning. That's Goblin's convention for it's the constructor. So it's the greeter constructor. It has this become argument that Julie mentioned, and I'm going to mention in a little bit. I'm going to ignore it for now, because this actor doesn't use it. And it takes a name, then it returns. It doesn't do anything else in the constructor. It could. And then it returns some behavior, which is it will, when invoked, it will, with a name, it will greet that person. Hello, Bob, my name is Alice, that kind of thing. And that's basically what an actor is. And so how do you use these things? As I said, you can spawn them. And in this case, we're spawning Alice. And if you use this arrow, it sends a message to Alice. And in this case, you're passing Bob in. So that would be their name. And you're getting this promise thing back. But there's also this dollar thing. That is an immediate invoke of the actor. It's synchronous, and so it can only be used when you're in the same vat as the actor. But in this case, you are. So you can see we just get the string that you'd expect. So this promise thing, how do you use it? You have this function called on, and in this case, we're creating a promise. And you can register a sort of callback-like thing. And in this case, PK, if you didn't know, is basically prints things to the screen. And so it will print the greeting. Our actor won't error, really. It doesn't do much. But if you did want to handle that, you can catch errors like that. That's not the only way to handle promises. There are mistakes in this code. I wish I'd fixed it before coming up here. Either way, it's the gist you need to get. So in this case, we're spawning a builder, and then you're sending a message to that builder, hey, build me a car factory. That's a bit contrived. That takes a bit of time. But you don't have to wait until it's built. You can then just be like, make me a car. And then you don't even have to wait for the car or the factory to exist. You can also just say, hey, I want to drive the car. And what's happening here is called promise pipelining. You just send messages to a promise, and you can use it as if it is the value, and eventually it should resolve. If an error happens, it will be passed back up the chain. So you could catch the error when you're driving. And so this become argument. Julie mentioned it in her talk. What is it? How does it work? So this is the cell actor. It's basically a box. You can put something in it. You can look at what's in the box. You can change the item in the box. It's a cell. And it's based on, if you call it with no arguments, it will show you the value. If you pass in a value, it will change to that new value. But we're not doing any sets or anything. We're using this become thing, and you can notice that we are actually calling the constructor again, passing in that become we had, and passing in the new value. And this is telling Goblin's sort of kernel, be this new value. And this is important because we don't want to mutate the actor for reasons I'm going to get into. Actually, I should have gotten into them then. you want to be able to go back in time and use this transactionality. And this is a neat game called Terminal Phase that my colleague Christine built. And this uses time travel in a really interesting way and actually exposes it to the user. And so you're going along and you can see, you can zoom back in time. So when you die to these S squiggler things, you can just undo that. And that's great. We also have a debugger. Ludovic also spoke about debugging these things. It can be tricky. And so we have this debugger. Oh dear. I'm going to be very quick. You can stay in the editor. It's built on top of the editor. You can get trees of events. You can travel back in time. So again, it's built on that. And it will even give you some diagrams. So here's a tree, several vats, lots of messages. I'm not going to focus on that. It's just nice to be able to see this thing. You can jump to a particular point in time and interrogate those actors at that time. It's not the current basilisk here where you're asking its HP. It's the basilisk at the point in time from this list of events. So you can really play with your actors. And you can make diagrams. So these are three VATs, messages between them. And it makes it really easy to see what's going on and start debugging things and make sense of your code. OCAPN, that's our distributed network component. And this allows you to have actors live on different machines. And it's transport mechanism agnostic. So we implement what we call net layers. There is the Tor net layer, libp2p, TCP, TLS, and now WebSockets. And that allows you to very easily have your programs run over different transport mechanisms. It includes third-party handoffs and distributed acyclic garbage collection, and we're currently standardizing it. I'm not going to focus too much on this code, but basically, this is all the code you need to set up OCAPN, and this is all the code you need to connect over OCAPN. And interestingly, this is using the cell before, but if you wrote a huge program, like a virtual world with lots of actors and lots of players, it's still this amount of code. It doesn't really grow. What are these handoffs? I'm not going to go through this too much. That would actually take more than the whole amount I've been allotted here. But basically, if you have three machines and Alicia has a reference to Carol and Ben, and you want to share Carol with Ben, but you can see the machine B and C here don't have a connection. Handoffs will securely allow this to happen. So you don't have to think about it. Goblins takes care of it. And quite frankly, you shouldn't need to ever understand this diagram. That should be something only I and other OCAPN implementers need to focus on. It has this persistence thing. And this is a cute Ori character. It should be easy to use and automatic in most cases. It should persist actor refers, not just your strings and integers and things like that. And it should be storage agnostic, so you shouldn't be tied to SQLite databases or files on your file system. It's designed to be really easy to implement new ones. So we only have a couple at the moment. We'll expand it in time, but it should be easy for you to write whatever storage thing you need. And upgrading actors. It turns out persistence is a great time to do that. So if you remember the cell from before, what needs to change for this to be persistible? You want to look at this define here. That. You change it to define actor. Suddenly this cell can be persisted. And what do I mean by that? It's saved to disk. And you can wake it back up, and it will look and behave the same. It will be the same actor even after a full process restart. And this will work for huge graphs of objects. And this is how we do upgrades. I'm not going to walk through it. Basically, it's a thermostat. It started off with temperature in Fahrenheit. I realized my mistake. Celsius is great. And so it's converting it to Celsius. And actors are always tagged with version 0 if you don't say something. And then if you want to upgrade it, you can say, hey, this is actually version 1. And I'm going to do some kind of logic there to change it and then spawn the final thing. Goblins works on the web. This is actually Firefox here. I'm going to skip that. This is Firefox. And this is actually Goblins working in this Goblin chat. And it's actually using OCAPN even in the browser. And you can see you can chat to one another. And so you can write your Goblins applications and bring them to the browser. You don't have to write JavaScript or anything like that. It just works. Thank you, Dave, and Julie, and Andy, and everyone that's worked on Hoot. It's really easy to use. So, no, I'm still in the text box. I'm done! questions? Yes?
Yeah, Slavon, is the scope of this time traveling back in time is a single vat, basically, right?
So you can travel.
Repeat the question.
Sorry. Is time travel limited to a single vat? And no, it is not. That's the distributed part of distributed debugging. You can jump between vats, and actually, my example I skipped over did that.
Internet's not working over OCaPN.
It doesn't work over OCaPN yet. We're thinking about it.
It will.
It will, hopefully.
Yeah, because I wanted to follow this up, because if you like start to distribute out, even the concept of global time and global ordering is going to break down sooner.
That's a big topic.
Big topic.
Yeah. Here. Catch us in the corridor. We'll happily chat to you about that. Yes?
After like restoring, going to disk and restoring, do you still have a time travel option?
No. I should repeat. After persisting to disk and reawakening, do you have the option to time travel debug? No, you don't. We're hoping to bring some diagnostics you can do after you shut your program down. There's a lot of other debugging stuff we could do. Did you want to add something, Christine?
Except sort of yes, because you should be able to, we have in the design so that you're able to save generations. So you could restore a previous generation.
Yes, yes, that's true. Yes.
Still have a few questions.
Is anything that GNU Net is doing about this fact as well?
So do I know about what GNU Net is doing with Sprightly's work?
Is anything that they're doing of interest to you?
I actually am not that familiar with GNU Net. Are you, Christine?
If they, somebody could try to make a GNU net layer if they wanted to, and that's all we have time to talk about in this talk.
Okay.